Hallelujah, hallelujah. A very familiar Christmas story, and just something about Christmas that, the world celebrates for whatever
reason. Recording in progress.
And that's their prerogative. But you and I celebrate because we know the old slogan, we know the reason. What? We know the reason for the season. Yeah. So our text will be taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It's a long narrative, and so I'm not going to ask you I'll read it as we go along, but I would ask you to stand and let's pray before we engage in this privilege of studying the scriptures together, just to demonstrate our grace, our gratitude, and our humility before our God. Father, we thank you so much that we have been brought into the light and the love and the liberty of Christ. We thank you so much that you did not pass us by. We thank you so much that we have been joined to him, joined to you, joined to every other saint forever. We thank you that today we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come now and commune with us as we rehearse this old, old story that is filled with so much glory. Meet us in the scriptures. Fill our hearts with joy all over again. And help us to find that place where we love you all fresh and anew. It's in Jesus' great name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject for today, Brother Darwin, I need some help back there. I'm not sure what happened, but our subject for today is nothing will be impossible with God. All right, nothing will be impossible with God. Now, you all know that most people will acknowledge a miracle, right? When something has occurred that they can't explain, right? Most people will. Now, there's still some foolish people that will deny it. We saw some of those even in the scriptures that would deny people that they knew were blind. And they knew science couldn't help them, and yet they see. People that they knew were crippled all their lives, and now they walk, and yet they would still deny, you see? And so I'm saying that most people will acknowledge a miracle when it occurs. Now, just the plain old Webster definition of a miracle, I wrote it down there for you. It's a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be a work of divine agency. Okay? So even the most practical definition in a dictionary defines a miracle as being something that cannot be explained on a practical level. And so there's no need in attempting to explain it to people. A miracle is not intended for you to explain it. A miracle is intended for you to share it. right? To be a witness, yeah? To be a witness. And so it's not explicable by natural or scientific laws. Now, you know, we live in an age of cinema and movies, and it's amazing now. You got all kind of platforms. Now, it used to be the time that the only time you could see a movie is when you go there, right? You have to go to the theater. But, I mean, it's got everybody showing movies now, you know, not only Netflix, but you got all of these platforms. So people are making movies on all kinds of platforms now. But you know, when you think about this season is considered to be a season of miracles. The Christmas season is. You think about all of the movies that are made about miracles in Christmas, miracle on this street, or the miracle that happened in this family around the Christmas time. And I thought about it, and I think that the stories that we're going to look at today motivated a lot of that thinking. We're going to look at two miracles today that I believe has motivated, though whether the world acknowledges it or not, that miracles are true, and that they may not acknowledge our Christ, but you cannot deny the miracle associated with him and his birth and many things around it. So that's what I want to do for the few minutes today, and then we'll be done. In doing so, I want you to think about these two big areas of thought here. The first thing we're going to look at is what I call this miracle, the miracle of a baby for a barren, an old barren woman, wife. An old barren wife has a baby. So that's the first miracle. And then the second miracle is on the other extreme. We got a young virgin that has a baby. And that's the second miracle we're going to look at today. Both reveal the glory of God. Both reveal the glory of God. Y'all ready? Amen. All right, let's go. We get ready, but PowerPoint... I don't know why PowerPoint gets so stubborn at times. It just, it phrases up, but here we go. And so when we think about this baby for the old barren wife, I want us to think about the natural impossibility that's presented for us here in the scriptures. It's in verses 5 through 7 of Luke chapter 1. The natural impossibility of an old barren wife having a baby. And what we see here is that there was a priest named Zechariah, and he had his wife's name was Elizabeth. You see that in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the divisions of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, okay? And so here we do. We have these two people that are presented before us as this natural impossibility unfolds. The next thing we're told about them is that they were both faithful and righteous. See that in verse 6? And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Okay? And so here we have the picture painted for us of the fact that they were genuine people who loved the Lord. But then we also, the impossibility, the thing that makes it impossible is the fact that they were both elderly. Brother Don, I need some help here. They were both elderly with no children. And verse 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Okay. So that's the picture that the scripture wants to paint for us to see that this is a what we're about to see develop here cannot be explained by what? Natural laws or what? Scientific laws. This is beyond the boundary of natural explanation. Okay. I just thought that it'd be good for us to remember, just before I move on, that God wants all of us to know that age and physical limitations do not disqualify you from being used greatly by Him. Yeah. Just because society feels like you need to be shelved or put out to pasture does not mean that that's the way God feels about you. Isn't that good? And so here we have these natural impossibilities. The next thing that I see developing here is the actual miracle in verses 8 through 25. Now, Zechariah received a message, you see, from an angel that his wife Elizabeth was going to get pregnant and have a son. Go down to verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Okay? So this angel comes to bring Zechariah, the priest, this good news. Now he's just going through his daily service, or I should say his special service, before God, and he was totally, this was totally unexpected. Then the next thing we notice here is that we are told that he's going to bring joy. This son is going to bring joy to his parents. You see that in verse 14 and 15. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Amen. The last thing, not the last thing, but I do see couple other things, developments here. You see that he's going to be faithful. That's what I see it here. Faithful, effective, and dedicated to the calling of God on his life. You see verse 16 and 17. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God, and will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord's a people prepared." Yeah. And so he's going to be faithful. Faithful to this call and this ministry. And I want you to see the last thing that I noticed here is that God worked this miracle even though Zechariah had his doubts. Yeah? Even though Zechariah had his doubts, God worked the miracle anyway. Got verse 18? "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.'" In other words, this is not natural. And all of us know what he's talking about. This is a natural, Gabriel. How is this going to be? But the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Okay? So God's going to do it, even though Zechariah doubted it. And this is important. When God plans to work, he can work in the midst of doubt. You see, you get it? And so when you go down to the next paragraph there, verse 24. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me and take away my reproach among people." To take away my reproach among people. Amen. So, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. Another thing that I noticed when I was working through here is that I think it's important to remember that God hears our prayers even if he doesn't answer them for years. Isn't this important? You remember what he told Zechariah? Now Zechariah thinks he's too old, but he's been praying for a child, praying. And what's the first thing the angel tells him? The Lord heard your prayer. And you're ready to give up. You're ready to quit. What good is it going to do for God to answer my prayer now? See, I'm too old. You should have answered my prayer when I was young and could do something about it. Now, this is important. Don't give up. You know the old song, just because he didn't come when you want him? Y'all remember how Mary and Martha were, you know? They were for sure that God, they sent for Jesus. And while Lazarus was sick, they sent for Jesus. And we need you to come while he's sick. But Jesus waited until he was dead. And they thought he was what? Too late. And we got to remember this when you pray. God is never too late. Amen. Never. Never. He's not hard of hearing. Certainly not hard. He certainly has no problem remembering. And so when you love God and when you know he loves you, don't stop praying. If we pray anything, what? According to his will, we know what? He hears us. If we know he hears us and the thing that we request, we know we have the thing we have what? Ask of him. Keep on praying. We got a song, right? Keep on praying. Don't give up. Don't give up. So that's one thing I see here is that God wants us not to give up when we're praying about a situation, even if it's taken many, many years for him to answer. And the other thing that I've already mentioned to you is remember this. God's going to still work his plan. And he can do it even if there's doubts and fears. Even when you may have doubts and fears, God will still be faithful. He'll be your strength. He'll be your anchor. Even when you don't have strength. When you don't see your way through. Because all it takes is the faith of a what? A mustard seed. And every Christian has that. Every Christian has faith. You got saving faith. You got faith that'll help you live. So hold on to God, because he's going to hold on to you. And so this is important. This is important to see that in this world that paints miracles so frivolously, for you and I to know that you're never too old. You're never too old. You're never too old. All right. You got it? So that's the first miracle. A baby for the old. And it'd be different if we were talking about something else, you know, an old person getting their legs stronger, or, you know, getting new sight. No, 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 no. God did something way more wonderful than that. Way, way more wonderful than that. He gives these two old people what? A baby. They didn't adopt it. You understand what I'm saying? This is important. When God plans for you to have something, you're going to have it. You may go through some things. And you think about, at their age, they've gone through some problems in life. And you can imagine the kind of stress that puts on a marriage. All of us know about those kind of things, don't we? You're praying about something, and stress causes stress. But stay faithful. You got it? Yeah, God still works miracles. Even when you got your doubts that he can pull it off. Okay, so that's the first thing. The next thing then is on the other end of the pendulum is we see a baby for a young virgin. Y'all know that story too. I mean, y'all know these stories. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just kind of taking a look at it, and we're thinking about you just never can exhaust the scriptures. There's always some things there, right? There's always some insight, and so. We're looking at the other end of the spectrum now. This baby for this young virgin. And again, we see that there's a natural impossibility here. I mean, it sounds like an oxymoron already, right? A virgin having a baby. Well, it's the same thing with the old one. An old, barren woman. And I call her a wife because she was married. An old, barren wife having a baby, you see? Why? And why? Because nothing would be impossible with God. Yeah. You got it. Okay. So, in verses 26 through 38, we unpack this a little bit. When we look at the natural impossibility, starting there in verse 26, you see, Mary was a virgin. Engaged to be married, right? Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Very good. You know that part. Now, like Zechariah, Mary, and you would be too. Mary was troubled. Nobody hadn't been visited by an angel. And so, we can't sit here and think that you'd be so cool. You just chill out when an angel shows up. You ain't going to be chilling out when an angel shows up. These angels are mighty representatives of God. And so, like Zechariah, she was troubled not only by the angel's presence, but by his message and his message of favor. You see that in verse 28 and 29. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. All right. Yeah, trying to work her way through the practical issue of what's going on here. But then, as with Zechariah, the angel has a message of a miracle. The angel brings a message of a miracle that God is going to work. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Wow. You get it? Sound pretty similar to what we just read? I mean, it's just the opposite. You know what I mean. You see the same pattern. This is what's going to happen to you. And I'm going to give you so much details, I want you to even know what you're going to name the child. This is how confident God wants you to be. He's going to pull it off. You see, he told Zechariah, God is so confident he's going to do this. When you have this son, you're going to name him what? John. And he comes to Mary and says, "Listen, when you have this baby, you're going to call his name Jesus." Right? So he brings this message about this wonderful miracle. And you see in verse 34, Mary doesn't want this angel to forget. Hold up. What you talking about here? It ain't natural. As if the angel didn't know. As if God didn't know. But you know, sometimes we feel like we have to give God information that he doesn't know. We pray like that sometimes, don't we? We're giving God information that he doesn't know. You know, we have to tell God where somebody lives. You know, tell him, who they are and these kind of details. So Mary is here reminding the angel. See verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Yeah, this is a natural impossibility that you're talking about here. I think for all of us, it's a lot more challenging than we might think, because you live in a culture. You remember what Elizabeth said? She lived with the shame all of these years of not being able to have a child. Now, we're on the other end of this. Mary knows that if I have a child out of wedlock, you see? You understand? It ain't like our day to where you just kind of brush it off. This is a real issue, to have a child out of wedlock. And particularly when you what? Engaged to be married. Yeah. So she's concerned. Wait a minute. How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. You know, imagine what's going through her mind. What are people going to think of me? What's my fiance, you know, see, going to think of me? What's going to happen to me? How can this be? This is not natural. That's okay. God understands when we're up against these situations where he's going to work a miracle, and we want more information. We want to try to understand. And so God is gracious, and he begins to at least give us some information, you see? Some information. So we look at the miracle, beginning in verse 35. You see, the angel graciously explains to Mary that this will be a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And so he's giving her a little bit more information. Now, you know what I told you. You cannot explain a miracle. It's not explicable what? On a natural or scientific level. And so that's what she's going to have to be settled about. You see? You're going to have to be settled with the fact that this is a work of the Holy Spirit that you've not experienced before. Yeah? That you've not experienced before. That's what a miracle is. It can't be explained naturally. This baby will be holy like no other ever born. No other ever born. He's going to be holy. He'll be the Son of God. It's amazing. This is amazing. And so we see a little bit more here that the baby's going to fulfill prophecy. And he's going to establish the long-awaited kingdom of God for God's people. You go back to verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Excuse me. And of his kingdom, there will be what? No end. And so he's going to be fulfill this prophecy that has been so specifically given, and Mary is familiar with the scriptures, but you see, even when you're familiar with the scriptures, and God brings something to you that's extraordinary, miracles are outside of natural thinking, and all of us need to know that when the Holy Spirit is working. His work is not natural. See? The Holy Spirit gives you a thought. It's not natural. The Holy Spirit tells you to do something. It's not natural. Yeah? Amen. And so we have to learn what it means to be what? Led by the Spirit. Because it's not natural. If it were natural, God wouldn't have to tell us to what? Be led by the Spirit. Yeah? And so, he's going to fulfill. Yeah, the angel is so graciously giving her this information. And then he goes on to tell Mary, I don't know, something's happening, darn. There we go. He goes on to tell Mary about the miracle that has occurred with her cousin, Elizabeth. You're right, you all know that story. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. Now, see, she knows that situation. And isn't this amazing? The angel gives her some sense of, what shall I call it, ease to know that a miracle has already happened with your relative. And so you're not the first to be shocked and surprised when it comes to having a baby in a way that seems natural to you. Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. And then finally we see Mary willingly submit to God's will in this mighty, mighty, mighty miracle. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. There's it. That's it. That's it. Just as I prepare to close, I do want you to take note of this. Unlike what we've seen before, this miracle was not an answer to prayer, was it? Mm-mm. This is not an answer to prayer, but simply what? An act of God's graciousness towards someone who was to an humble believer. And there are those times that God has just chosen to bless you, not because you've been praying about it, not because you've been seeking it, but it's just because he's going to be gracious to you. Isn't that good? And you're not too young for it. You're not too young for it. Mary was more than likely just an older teenager. Yet she was chosen for this extraordinary miracle. And young people, I don't know who's on this Zoom call or who's going to hear this later, but I would want any young person listening to this to understand this point. You are not too young. If you love Christ, you've been brought into the kingdom of God, you are not too young to be used by God for something, for great work. Not only a great work, but for a great redemptive work, you see. To do things that you never thought you would be involved in. Not because you've been seeking it, but because God has a plan for you. God never saves anybody just to sit on the sideline. Amen? Yeah. And so, as we think about these matters, and I conclude, during this Christmas season, remember whether you're old or young, whether you're male or female, whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're healthy or sick, whether you're living in a mansion or in an apartment, you know, whether you live in the suburbs or whether you're homeless, whether you're a church leader or a church member, or whatever the case may be, you are a candidate for a great miracle from God. You are. You see, and this is, we don't treat miracles frivolously like you see a lot of this theology going on today. Now, I'm simply saying God is the one who determines who he's going to use to work a miracle in and through. Yes? That's it. You don't do it. And so we simply humble ourselves. Brother Lay read Romans 12:1 earlier. That's the thing. Present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice to God. No matter what age you are. Just present your body as a living sacrifice. Wait for him to use it. It's like you remember the disciples were all baffled about how Jesus was going to feed thousands of people. Yeah? And he said, what do you have? What's here? And he said, well, the only thing here is a little boy has a lunch. Right? A few fish and a couple of loaves of bread. And Jesus said, that's enough. Yeah. That's enough. And so I just want all of us to think about this. It's not so much what you bring to the table. You just need to know God can use whatever it is. See, whatever your limitations are, God knows, what we can't do anymore. Remember what he told Moses? Well, it's like Moses was trying to educate God. You remember that? I don't really speak that well in public, as if God didn't know that. God said, Moses, who do you think made your mouth? Right? Who do you think gave you the ability to speak? I knew that before I chose you. And so here we sit today. Everybody in this room has limitations, some of them pretty serious. But it has nothing to do with whether God will use you for great things or not. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's a candidate. Everybody. In addition, whether you have been seeking God in prayer for years about a matter or whether you've not prayed about it at all, you're still a candidate for a great miracle from God. Why? Because God is not partial. God is not prejudiced. He, with his miracles, he determines who he's going to work a miracle in and through and for. You understand? We got to get this. He doesn't work miracles for people that are good. What is Jesus had to tell a man running up to him, calling him good? Who is good? He said, nobody's good except who? God. God is good. And we thank God that we can be joined to Christ where we can be holy and right. God gives no preferences when it comes to miracles. And we certainly do not want to forget the great miracle of our Savior's birth that's given in great detail here. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Unique in every way. There'll never be a baby born this way again. Never. He is the monogenes, the unique Son of God. Born of a woman, born of the law. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Never be another comes this way. There'll never be anyone else visited by the Holy Spirit saying, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful story. I hope that as you meditate on it, you will think about it too. There is no other. He fulfilled all the prophecies regarding his birth. God overcame the doubts and the fears of everyone involved to ensure that this child was born, would be called holy, and the Son of God. So this is the great Christmas miracle, reminding us all that what? Nothing will be impossible with God. And that's really all that I wanted to communicate to you today. Nothing will be impossible with God. And for those of you listening, if there's someone who's not a Christian, you can experience a miracle too. And that is the great, great, great miracle of salvation. It's the greatest miracle that will ever occur in your life personally. But you must believe in Christ. And so if you'll only come to him, you'll know this great miracle as well. Well, God bless you all.